We're approaching the end of March. The sprint to the playoffs is in full effect, and the Penguins can hopefully try to make it a little bit easier on themselves by returning home and being the Nashville Predators on Thursday night. To start the show, we're going to do a full preview of that game and how the Penguins can come out victorious in it. Stay tuned for that coming up right after this drop.
You're Locked On Penguins, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Penguins, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I am your host, Hunter Hodes. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes. Follow the show's Twitter at NHL Penguins. And of course, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms. And today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of Locked On. Make every moment more. You can visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So Penguins Predators, Thursday night, 7:08 p.m. faceoff at PPG Paints Arena. And yeah, the Penguins would behoove them if they actually want to show up in the first period of this one. I don't care who they're playing against. You know, the Predators, they're out of the playoff picture right now. They're 3 points behind the Winnipeg Jets, who just can't seem to win games at this point, unless Connor Hellebuck is playing like God. But it's amazing that the Predators are in this race because they sold off at the deadline and they're without a lot of regulars right now. You know, they just beat the Boston Bruins on Tuesday night, 2-1, in a very emotional game, obviously, with what happened in Nashville earlier this week, the mass shooting. And, you know, I send my condolences and my thoughts and prayers to, you know, everyone that's, you know, being affected there. You know, it's just sick that this keeps happening in this country, and you know, nothing's ever going to be done about it. Anyways, you know, that's all I'll say on that. But with the Penguins and Predators, Penguins beat them already this season. Remember, the Predators, you know, Mark Jankowski scored the first goal. It took until the third period. Penguins were able to tie it, then take the lead 2-1, and then they're able to win the game 3-1 earlier in the season. And, you know, the Penguins, they have to just, you know, have that same blueprint for this one. Except, you know, also the Predators will be very banged up. You know, and that's another thing. John Hines, say what you want him as a coach. It is very impressive that he has this team only 3 points out of a playoff spot when Ryan Johansson is done for the year. Roman Josi is day-to-day. We don't know if he's going to play on Thursday. He's been skating with the team. Philip Forsberg is out. Matt Duchene is out. Mark Borowiecki and Alexander Carrier. Their top line right now consists of Philip Tomasino, Cody Glass, and Igor Afanasyev. I don't even know. Well, I know two of those players. I don't know who the last guy is. Their second line is Kiefer Sherwood, Thomas Novak, and Luke Evan Jalista. I don't even know who he is. I don't know who Thomas Novak is. They have Colton Sissons on their third line with Cole Smith, Rasmus Asplund, down there former Buffalo Sabre, Mark Jankowski, and then Michael McCarron. That is probably one of the worst forward groups I've ever seen in my life. Like, there is no star player in that lineup. And especially without Roman Josi, their defense, Ryan McDonough, Dante Fabro, Jeremy Lauzon, Tyson Berry, Kevin Gravel, Cal Foote. UC Soros is, you know, the only reason they're basically winning games right now, you know, and John Hines being a good coach, at least this season. This is a game the Penguins have to win. And if they play the way they did against Nashville the first time, I think they will be able to come out on top. They peppered UC Soros a lot. He is one of the five best goaltenders in hockey. He's a little bit smaller, but his movement is great. He can stretch out. He can come out, be aggressive. You know, he's not as super flashy, I guess, as someone like Shesterkin or Vasilevsky, but he gets the job done and does it at a very elite level. Penguins are going to have to make sure they get bodies in front of him, make sure they're getting chances from the high slot area, just more high danger area. You can't be just throwing perimeter shots on net against this guy because, you know, he's just going to gobble them up like it's nothing. And honestly, I can say that about any goalie. Remember last week, Penguins had that game against Ottawa. They fired 50 shots against Dylan Ferguson, a player who I had never heard of going into it. He makes almost 50 saves because the Penguins are just doing a lot of perimeter play. He played well, but that Penguins really didn't test him enough. I don't want to see the same thing here with the Penguins when it comes to not testing UC Soros enough. Penguins, they have the edge at forwards and defense, even defensively with the players that are out and if Roman Josi is out, you know, that tips the scales in the Penguins' favor even more. But again, This is another game against a team below you standings wise, same, basically the same amount of points, but below you in the standings. You need to take advantage right now. As I am recording this, it'll probably be changed by the end of it. It is 1-1 between the Panthers and the Maple Leafs. Paul Maurice just blew a gasket on his team. He is not happy. If the Panthers lose tonight, Penguins will again will have another opportunity tomorrow to go 5 points up. They had that opportunity on Tuesday night. They are potentially about to get a point against the Red Wings. They squandered it late. That's the third time that's happened in less than, in basically a week's time. Can't keep doing that. And you also can't keep starting games the way, you know, they have been recently, especially in that game against Detroit. Game 74, you're fighting just to get into the dance, and that is how you're starting? Come on now. Like, I better see a much better effort in the first period. Again, if they go with the lineup that I just gave you all, that is probably the worst forward group in the NHL right now. There are really no difference makers in that lineup. Almost, you know, all of their best forwards are out. Right? Defensively, you know, Tyson Berry's not what he once was to be. He's okay. Ryan McDonough's not bad. Fabro's okay. But without Roman Josi, they really have no one at an elite or even great level that can move the puck up the ice. The only place the Penguins will be shorthanded in is at the goaltending position, because UC Saros is always a big difference maker. So really want to see the Penguins again. Pepper him with shots. Make sure they're from, you know, good scoring chances in the offensive zone. If you can't carry the play against this team, there's going to be a problem. But, you know, they've been carrying play against most teams as of late, so I don't think it's going to be too big of a problem. I want to see the power play continue to be hot. You know, they played well in Detroit. They played well against Colorado. You know, Dallas, you know, kind of the clogged toilet power play showed up. Washington was kind of the same way. Just kind of been up and down a little bit as of late. But, you know, if they can show the level that they did against the Red Wings, I think that could really tip the scales in the Penguins' favor as well. This is a game they should win. I've been saying that all season long. They're winless against the Canadiens and the Red Wings, which is ridiculous because both those teams are nine plus points back behind them in the standings. You have to win the games you are supposed to win. This is supposed to be a week where you're setting yourself up to play in the playoffs. You squandered one where you shouldn't have. You went behind 3-0. You came back to tie it. You tied it again 4-4. It looks like you're going to get at least a point taking that 50-50 in overtime. You don't even get a point because Brian Rust, who's had a season from hell, decided to take a penalty. You can't squander another one here, especially at home. Three straight here for the Penguins at home. They have to take advantage. They have to. You know, just looking at, you know, some other game notes about this matchup against the Predators. Penguins have points in 8 of their last 10 against the Predators, 7-2-1 overall. They're also 14-4-1 against the Predators dating back to October 21st, 2010. And they've also won 5 of their last 6 home matchups against the Predators. They also only have 4 regulation losses to Nashville in 16 games all time at home. And this will be also be the final stretch of the season where the Penguins play more than one consecutive home game. You know, remember, you know, Penguins in that last matchup took them a little while, but they were able to break through. Sid that tied it up on the breakaway. Jason Zucker gets the game winner off the skate. And then I believe it was Brian Rust that got the empty netter to make it 3-1 and to win the game. You know, the Penguins, they needed that one at the time just as much as they're probably going to need this one. Just as much, if not more. So that's what I'm really looking for. This game one against the Predators. You know, quick to exit the zone, firing the puck from good scoring chances on Saros, getting traffic in front of him. Want to see the power play get back to being, you know, playing a bit better, and just simplify your game. A lot of these players that Nashville are playing that on their forwards, they're not that good. You can't be giving up quality scoring chances to players who on those contending teams will be, what, third liners for the most part? Let's go here. Let's go time. Final late games. Something's got to give here, to say the least. But that wraps up this first segment. Coming up in the second segment, we are going to get into, you know, my Kyle Granlund and why. You know, sadly, it's just been worse than I think a lot of us could ever imagine. But before we get to that, The NCAA tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, and that's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point scores to which team will be cutting down the net after the two Final Four games this weekend. It's on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you go to FanDuel.com today. Again, just go there, FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of Locked On. All right, we're back in this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I am your host, Hunter Hodes. If you want to follow me on Twitter, Hunter Hodes, follow the show's Twitter, at MRSR Penguins. And of course, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. So let's just get into it. You know, Penguins, we all know they played their old hits last night. Their classic hits on, you know, Appetite for Destruction, for example. Bad goaltending late in the third period. Can't kill a penalty. Bad start. Bad situational hockey. And what do you know? You lose in regulation. Oh, and I should add another one. Outplay an opponent. Score a decent amount of goals, but not enough to win. There you go. That's basically their five biggest hits. And we can add another one now. And I'll be a little bit of a Xerox machine for that, because Adam Gretz wrote a beautiful article on Pensburg today. And he even said, you know, we can add another one to this now. And I was thinking about covering this today. And even when I saw his article, I had to bring it up again. Go check it out, because it's really good. And he even said, you can add another hit to the list, because, yeah, what is going on with Mikael Granlund? Just is not, it doesn't matter, honestly, who they're putting him with. Put him with Jeff Carter. I mean, that's a death sentence itself. Putting him with Drew O'Connor, even with Ricard Raquel, got him going for one game. But the goal that he scored was so late in a game. It was 4-1 at that point. It was 4-1. Other than that, he has 2 assists, 3 points in 13, 14 games since being acquired. This is why you just don't, you know, you don't go after players who were good a few years ago. And you know, I have nothing against Granlund as a player. He has been a very good to great player in this league for a lot of years. Go back to his time in Minnesota. Go back to his time, you know, in Nashville, especially, you know, just a couple, you know, just very recently. Just looking at Hockey Reference, you know, 2021-2022, 11 goals, 64 points in 80 games. Battling back to his days in Minnesota, 26 goals, 69 points, 21 goals, 67 points, 16 goals, 54 points. You know, goes over to Nashville, starts to decline a little bit. He's still scoring in the teens. Had that beautiful season of 64 points in 80 games. Other than that, though, 30 points, 27 points, 39 points. That's just this season only. But when he came over, 9 goals, 36 points in 58 games. Since then, 3 points in 13 games. They still have him for 2 more years at $5 million per. This is why this general manager was just, you know, looking at scouting reports from, you know, 5 years ago and thinking, oh, this is exactly what they need. No, it's not. I think he could be a great fit on a team that, you know, has finishing ability. In other words, you know, maybe like a team like Boston, maybe a team like Colorado, maybe even a team like Tampa Bay, Toronto. They have plenty of finishing ability too. Maybe someone that, you know, needs a passer. Right, because he is still a very good passer. But when you look at the Penguins, the 2022-2023 version of this team, his skill set doesn't fit here. They already have plenty of very good playmakers. What they do not have is a finisher outside of Jake Guentzel, Kenny Malkin, Ricard Raquel, Sidney Crosby, basically anyone in the top six. We can exclude Brian Rust because he really hasn't been that good this season. 16 goals, okay, but still, he's kind of been having a disastrous season. Other than that, who is finishing chances on this team? Jeff Carter's heated up a little bit in the last week, but you know, it took until the very end of the season for that to happen. Drew O'Connor's been, you know, decent, but he's still not finishing, you know, a lot. You know, Josh Archibald, he had a goal on Tuesday night. That was nice. That was his first goal in a long time. But, you know, he's not finishing a lot of chances. Ryan Poehling, he just had his first goal. But, you know, other than that, he's not finishing that much. It's a whole lot of just passing ability. And, you know, adding another passer to a team full of passers just didn't make much sense. And you're seeing why right now. This team needed a competent finisher at the trade deadline to put on the third or fourth line, preferably the third. And this general manager failed at doing that. And he also added a lot more salary going into the next two seasons. So even if he gets canned after this season, if this keeps going down just a really bad rabbit hole here, then that, whoever comes in next is going to have to somehow clean up that mess and clean up a lot of the mess that he made. And it's not going to be pretty. But, you know, this really came to a head in the game against Detroit because there was not one, not two, not three, but basically four quality chances that Granlund had in the game, and he just passed. For example, one of them, he's coming in all alone. Defenseman's a little bit behind. He's kind of hounding him from behind, but he's still scoring a chance. The defenseman is behind him from the Red Wings, and he's just doing a drop pass, basically. And it's like, why are you not shooting in that situation? The one really bad one was, I think it was Jim of Penguins, I think it's Panda PSU on Twitter. He screen grabbed it. Penguins were on the power play 4-4 after Archibald tied it. Because remember, it was Dylan Larkin, I believe, that took that penalty in the third period. And Granlund's about to get the puck. He's winding up for a slap shot. Has basically the entire net to shoot at, and he passes the puck there. And I don't know if that's a confidence thing. I don't think it is. That's my guess. You know, my main guess is that he knows he's so good at passing, he thinks he can just throw another one in. But it's, you know, in those kind of situations, you need to trust your shot. Points are at a premium this time of year. They're precious. I mean, and that's just two. There was another one. The Penguins had a 3-on-1 in the first period. Granlund gets the puck, can't even control it. Goes to the boards. Red Wings are going back the other way on their scoring chance. It's just been a total disaster since he was traded here. And the funny thing is, he's not doing like so many things like, you know, a la Jack Johnson or Brian Dumoulin, where it's like, oh my God, get this guy off the ice. So, you know, just more glaring mistake after glaring mistake. It's not even that. He's just kind of there. And sometimes that's not a bad thing. But in this case, when he was your main trade deadline acquisition, that's not good enough. And again, I have no problem with him as a player, as a person. He's trying his best out there. And, you know, that's all I can ask for. It's the general manager's fault. You want someone to blame him. Don't blame the player. You know, Mikhail Granlund is what he is at this point in his career. There's no one's going to change that. And, you know, I would love to be wrong next year if he's on the team, which he probably will be. And maybe he's a late bloomer. Like, because, you know, I think I saw Rob Rossi tweet this and say how, you know, James Neal became a 40-goal scorer the season after he was acquired. I don't think Mikhail Granlund's going to become a 40-goal scorer at 30 years old. Stranger things have happened, but I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe he gets back to being a 55, 60-point player. Again, I don't think that's going to happen. But I would love to be wrong about it. Right now, it's just looking like, you know, the dud that a lot of people thought it was going to be, and he is just not helping this team on a nightly basis. It also doesn't help that Mike Sullivan is somehow thinking he's a prime Anze Kopitar, Patrice Bergeron, Pavel Datsyuk type of player, defensively, that is, that can just play on the penalty kill and play in all these defensive situations. And it was weird that Sullivan also said that his defensive metrics are good. They're not. He ranks in the 1 percentile for even strength defense this season, 1/3 percentile, whatever it is. No, 95%+ of his peers are better than him defensively. So I don't really know what stats they're looking at. But you know, you can also put a little bit of blame on the coaching for not putting him in positions to succeed. And, you know, it's just been a big problem. You know, this team's had a lot of problems going into this season, during the season, when those problems have stood out like sore thumbs. Now you can add another one to the list. And again, yes, he still has 2 more years left on this contract. Again, I'm not trying to harp on him and say that, oh, it's all his fault. It's not. This team has way bigger problems than Granlund. But it was just such an unenforced error, and the Penguins could have gotten, you know, a much better player with all that salary cap space that they had. You know, can't change the past. It's been about a month now. But man, he's just, he's really not doing anything out there, and that's really unfortunate for this team. But that'll do it for this segment of the Locked On Penguins podcast. Coming up to end the show, getting into a little bit of a pretty cool idea that I think the Penguins could think about doing during the offseason, and it involves the goaltender position. So stick around for that coming up after this commercial break. All right, we're back here in this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I am your host, Hunter Hodes. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Hunter Hodes. Follow the show's Twitter at MSR Penguins. And of course, thank you all so much for making this your first listen of the day. Free and available on all platforms. So Penguins I think the Penguins are going to have a pretty tough decision to make at the goaltending position after the season ends. Also, I will say, I think Tristan Jarry starts on Thursday. I would have started him on Tuesday. The more Casey DeSmith plays, the worse he is. We saw that on Tuesday. He's also not an answer. I had so many people come in my mention saying, well, the starter's not that good either. Yeah, I realize that. I know he's banged up. He has the back injury, he's had the groin injury. But, you know, when your season is basically on the line, I'm going with my starter, even if he's hurt. That's how I see it. And with that, you know, the Penguins are going to have a big decision to make with him after the season. I've read from, you know, multiple outlets that they haven't really been discussing a contract with him. That's good. He does not deserve a 4 to 5 to 6 year contract from any team in the NHL. I think if the Penguins want to bring him back, it needs to be at like a bridge deal or something like that, you know, a 2 year deal, maybe, just because he's been really banged up these last couple of years. And, you know, I don't think he's really been injury prone throughout his career. It really just started, you know, after the broken foot that he suffered against the Islanders. Since then, it's just been injury after injury, and you just can't stay on the ice. And the Penguins, you know, if they don't even want to do a bridge deal, you're going to have to go out there and get a new starter. Casey DeSmith is not going to be that guy. He still has one more year left on his contract. And who knows, maybe they decided to trade him in a deal. I don't know. Maybe we could be looking at a brand new goaltending tandem, like a la the Washington Capitals with Darcy Kemper and Charlie Lindgren. Could easily see that. That's why I think it would be cool. It's unlikely. Why don't the Penguins go out and try and offer sheet someone like Jeremy Swayman? Screw it. Why not? You have the money to spend. They're getting a lot of cap room this summer, even with Mikael Granlund's $5 million on there. Why not go try and offer sheet him? I know. Bit weird in today's league. You don't see a lot of offer sheets out there. Unless you're the Carolina Hurricanes, they don't really care. But it would be, especially, you know, you're kind of sticking it to a rival in Boston. He's had one heck of a year. I think him and Ullmark are probably going to win, what, you know, the Jennings Trophy? For like the best tandem, whatever. Why not? Go out and do it. I would be very, very down for that. You know, there's obviously Frederik Andersen, free agency, but he's also pretty injury prone. Semyon Varlamov, I believe, is also a free agent, but he's also just a lot older at this point. I don't think he's going to give you, you know, top tier quality goaltending. There is the option of getting John Gibson, but is he cooked at this point? He's great. He's had a pretty decent second half. I would like to see him play on a good team. I just, you know, that contract, plenty of years left, high cap hit. I think the Ducks would have to retain some money there. Obviously, it'd be cool to see him come back to his hometown of Pittsburgh, but just don't think he's at the level that he used to be. I think he would probably be an upgrade, right, at least right now, over Jarry and DeSmith. But, you know, with how Jarry played last season, is Gibson right now an upgrade over that? I'm not sure. But I could see that maybe happening. But, man, why don't they go out there and offer sheets on Mike Swayman? You will have the money to do it. You cannot, you know, these are the last few years of the Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin era. And you cannot put them to waste. You just can't. So, you know, that's just an idea to think about. I think, you know, and this would probably be for like a new GM coming in. I don't think someone like Ron Hextall would do that. Another one. This is a big one out there. Try for UC Soros. Nashville could be going in a full rebuild. Are they going to blow it up? That would be kind of fun. I don't know if they have the capital to pull that off. But man, that would be fun, wouldn't it? I really do think this offseason, I think a top need for me is getting a new starting goaltender. At least right now. If they can't. If they can't go out and get like, you know, a really good one, over Jari, then they might be forced to bring him back on a two-year term. But, you know, you would still have to bring in a different backup because you can't run the same tandem back for Checks Notes a fourth straight season. That would just be ridiculous. But right now, as it stands, I think their biggest need this offseason is a starting goaltender, just because I don't think, you know, I can't believe I'm even saying this because I didn't think this would even be a problem. But, you know, I just don't think they can rely on Jari to stay healthy. I don't know if they can rely on him to be consistent throughout, you know, a long-term or even just a bridge deal. And Liam McHugh said it best on Tuesday night. He did. This team, he even tweeted, if you switch goalies for the Penguins from any of those top other teams right now, they will be coasting into the playoffs. Even Toronto with Matt Murray, Elias Samsonov, they're second in the Atlantic. Everyone laughed at them. They've gotten more than average goaltending this season. You put those two guys on here, the Penguins are probably ahead of the Islanders. But their goaltending has been so inconsistent that it just hasn't mattered. They, you know, no one's been able to make a save when they really needed to. So that's just some food for thought for this offseason. The Soros thing, that's probably a big pipe dream. The Soyman, maybe a little less, but it's still probably a pipe dream. But it sure would be fun, wouldn't it? You know, right now, again, I really do think goaltender is the biggest thing they might have to go after this offseason. And I know it's hard because it's the most volatile position in hockey. Spending assets to get one is very risky because you don't know what you're going to get a lot of times. But I think it might be a risk worth taking for the Penguins at that point. But that will do it for this episode of the Locked On Penguins podcast. I really appreciate all of you listening. I'll be back with another episode for you all on Thursday night. I will be at the game at PPG Paints Arena. Let me know if you're going to be there. We'll see if the Penguins can get a big win. They very much need it. Score updates right now, 1-1 between Caps and Isles, 1-1 between Panthers and Leafs. We'll have to see how those results shake up and see if they help the Penguins. So again, thank you all so much for listening, and I'll talk with you all on Thursday.